This is Alex Peace of EG with Jules Pipe, Deputy London Mayor, at the launch of the Draft London Plan. Sadiq Khan's strategy for the next 20 to 25 years of London's development. Jules, thank you very much for joining me. It's been a long time in the making. You've already released a few snippets from it, or, you know, glimpses into it over the last few months. For you, what's the most important bits?
Well, I think it's a real departure from the previous plan. It's a really progressive document looking to make London work better for the residents who live here now and work here in London, and also its future residents and workers. It's obviously the principal plank in it is to vastly increase the number of houses that are being built. It's a blueprint for where we can find the sites and the capacity to build those homes. Obviously, to actually deliver them, we're going to need a lot more support from government, particularly for infrastructure, housing grant, taking caps off borrowing for local authorities. I'd say a big investment in infrastructure needed as well. Like here we are at Barking Riverside, and the overground extension to here is really what unlocks this site. But as well as housing, social infrastructure recognises the importance of that. Need that in places like this. Got the school, one of the biggest schools just down the road from here. Equally, there's a real focus on employment space as well, and ensuring that when we're designing out places, we don't just build them as dormitories and then expect people to pile onto the transport infrastructure we've just built and then it'll be at capacity. Instead, we need to create communities and provide all the kind of activities that you would want locally, because people don't necessarily want to commute from dormitories into the centre of London, and that's a very inefficient way to work.
Let's talk densification, which has been a real turnaround in the plan, basically. How are you going to encourage that? Because you're not allowing any form of change to space standards. It's quite clear, isn't it, on that in the plan. So how are you helping to create denser developments? I mean, for instance, larger towers and things like that don't really work economically without other financial incentives.
Well, we're going to be asking boroughs to identify where taller buildings can go, and there's an expectation they have to bring those forward through their local plan, identifying those sites. But higher density doesn't necessarily mean taller buildings. Some of the most desirable places to live in West London are very dense, and we would want to see some creativity about the kind of typologies that people can bring forward. The Mayor's Design Advocates will be bringing forward some design housing design guidance shortly on behalf of the Mayor, which will be sort of posing ideas for that. But also we're looking at when sites, so take a little retail site, big box retail site that isn't on a high street. Those come forward all the time for redevelopment, and instead of someone just putting knocking them down and putting more sort of newer big box brown box shops on there, selling beds and toys and tools, actually how about building those at a more kind of human scale, and actually some of those retailers are already changing their models onto a more high street model, and then you can have workspace in there and then housing above. So putting housing density on sites that actually at the moment aren't used for housing at all is a real opportunity.
Can schemes that have planning permission but haven't started building out yet come back in and increase the density on those schemes if they increase the affordable housing?
If the design works, and this is what we're saying, that it's all got to be design led, not numbers led. So in the same way that we haven't got a simple matrix now saying, well, that's a kind of urban setting, so it's that density range, and that's less urban, more outer London, so it's that. It's actually being driven by transport accessibility and whether the design lends itself to that. So if someone comes back with something that the transport links and the design lends itself to increasing the density, and there's a commensurate rise in or more in affordable housing, then that would be welcome. If someone's just coming along and saying, well, We just want to stick a few more extra stories on top, and the design really doesn't lend itself to that. It would be overcrowded. It doesn't really, isn't really supported by the transport. Then no, we wouldn't welcome that.
And what about this working in conjunction with the southeast or not boroughs, counties surrounding London? Have you already been speaking to them? What's being set up?
We have, and it's referenced quite heavily in the document.
Haven't had a chance to read all 524 pages of it just yet. Got to page 50 before we got to this interview.
We've been talking to all sorts of boroughs around the edge of London and beyond about potential opportunities.
I get shouted at this. Counties.
Well, there's districts, and we've been talking to districts, counties, and unitaries. So all three types of council, and exploring opportunities that there could be. But the plan is very clear that we're expecting to be able to work with. The density growth in London and cater ourselves within London's boundaries without building on the Greenbelt. But if there is opportunity to create more capacity in the southeast by working with other boroughs, we will.
Cool. Right. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.